for help.
More of Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. A couple of years ago, we spoke with Joel Hodgson, one of the creators of the TV show Mystery Science Theater 3000. The show was a longtime staple of Comedy Central in the 1990s and featured a hapless guy shot into space sentenced to watch bad movies with the robots that he built. Here is a sample from the decidedly B movie, Teenagers from Outer Space.
Let me
entertain you.
Fine, Derek. You will wait until the sky is light enough to begin the search.
It is light!
We will leave now and return here to meet you when we bring the Gargons.
Go back to your planet, space teens!
Do not fail, Thor. I shall not fail.
You fail! You cannot beat us! We're the people! We'll poop on you!
Run your fastest! Jump your highest!
Look at that stupid jumpsuit belted at the waist.
When we spoke with Hodgson, the show had been off the air for years, but a groundswell of support was building for a reboot. That turned into a Kickstarter campaign, which raised more than $6 million. And the series was relaunched with a season on Netflix featuring a new cast led by comedian Jonah Ray.
The cast has also embarked on a national tour featuring a full live show. They'll play two shows in Milwaukee this Saturday, one featuring the movie Iga from the original TV series, and the second featuring a surprise movie. Hodgson, who is a Wisconsin native, joined me and Lake Effect comedy contributor Matt Kempel on the line ahead of the trip. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, of course. I love Milwaukee. I grew up in Fort Atkinson, and so going to Milwaukee was like going to Avalon for us. It was great.
I was gonna start with Mystery Science Theater, but you kind of said something, and I don't think I've ever asked you this before. But do you have particular Milwaukee memories from your youth?
Yeah, sure. Like going to the Milwaukee Zoo, obviously, and of course the Milwaukee Museum. And last time we were in Milwaukee, I got to go to the Milwaukee Museum, and I was shocked that Samson the gorilla is dead, and they've stuffed him, and he's at the Milwaukee Museum. That kind of was sobering. I didn't even know. I didn't know, like, the mortality rate for gorillas. I guess in my mind, you know, I guess I thought he'd live to be as old as a human, but maybe they don't live that long.
Well, I think he did, but I think you probably visited him at the zoo in his middle age.
Yeah, that could be. Absolutely. But he was famous. Like, we would talk about Samson, and there was a rumor that he broke out. Like, there was kind of this urban legend that kids would say to each other, like, you know, Samson broke out once. But I don't think that's true.
I don't think that's true either, but he was famous, if I remember, for, like, when people would stand there, he would run up and start beating on the glass, right?
Yeah, that's right. True. Yeah, it was amazing. I had really happy memories of that. And what are the domes called? That's what I remember going to too.
They just call them the domes. It's very descriptive.
So we went there too, so I remember that as well.
Yeah, I think it's technically the Mitchell Park Conservancy, but everybody just calls them the domes.
Right. And we had relatives in Whitefish Bay, and I have friends in Cedarburg. So yeah.
Well, coming home is a good thing, and I guess that's as good a transition as any. And so my question for you about the live show is, you know, why was this the time to try this full production live versus, you know, the other models of live shows that have been done through the years, like Cinematic Titanic?
Well, a lot of the thinking in the new Mystery Science Theater, once we did the Kickstarter and we got funded, we made the shows, we ended up on Netflix, and it was kind of like that was always the plan to then roll out a live tour. And a lot of that thinking came from Cinematic Titanic and getting to do, we did 100 live shows over the course of like 6 years. And a lot of the way Mystery Science Theater functions now and the style of it comes from my experience, like being on the road and doing all those shows live in front of audiences and kind of understanding, getting an ear for performing live. So in a way, you know, prior to bringing back Mystery Science Theater, doing movie riffing live was to me kind of the state of the art. So after we landed Mystery Science Theater and it got on Netflix, that was kind of the next step, was to roll out the live show and bring it out there and meet all these people that kind of backed our show and brought it back to life.
So, Joel, what would you say is the biggest difference with this reboot on stage versus when you were touring Cinematic Titanic? Obviously, like, the robots are going to be there. There's going to be, you know, the feel of the show on stage. Is it a big production? Like, do you have, like, a Broadway-style set kind of thing?
Yeah, it's, well, Broadway is different because, you know, they can build sets and they are permanently located, and our show has to travel. But in a way, you know, Mystery Science Theater was kind of a reader's theater version of Mystery Science Theater, where we were just kind of standing next to the screen and riffing. And this is really in the context of the show Mystery Science Theater. So like you said, the robots are there and Jonah's there, and we have the Mads on Moon 13 that are observing it and doing invention exchanges. And then we have, you know, King of the Evil Minions are also in the theater, like Cynthia, who's the clone of Pearl Forrester, and also some of the Boneheads are there. So they're all there, and I guess that's the biggest difference is this is an actual production where we see Moon 13 and you see the Satellite of Love and you kind of go through the opening of the song, the theme song, and see the doorway sequence, see the theater, all that stuff's kind of, you know, realized visually for you. So that's what I think is different is it's an actual Mystery Science Theater show from beginning to end where we have invention exchanges, sketches, and we riff a movie. So long story short, when we did Cinematic Titanic, we just riffed the movie and we just stood on the side of the screen and you know, kind of did it that way. And that worked really great, I think. And so it really encouraged me to want to do it with MSC, which is kind of where it all started, you know.
And significantly, one of the films that you're touring with is a movie that was from the original, you know, your time with the Comedy Central version of the show. Why did you settle on EGA for the tour?
Well, it's interesting. We're actually doing two movies in Milwaukee, and we're doing one that's a secret that we haven't revealed yet. And we're doing EGA, and there's a lot of reasons. I mean, what's really funny about EGA is one of the most famous catchphrases from Mystery Science Theater is the phrase, "Watch out for snakes." And what's weird about that is it's not a riff that we said. If you watch the movie, it's not even clear it's a riff or a remark that any character in the movie made. There's just this scene in it where a guy's walking along and someone says, "Watch out for snakes," and you don't know who says it. And for some reason, that resonated with people in a really bizarre way. And so we were kind of thinking, well, who is the audience? Who is the audience? Who are going to come see us? And it's going to be composed of, you know, a bunch of people, but people who have watched the show, you know, since they were 12, like you, and there were also people who just came to the show because of Netflix, and so they might not be familiar with it, and so we tried to create something that people could identify with and use a movie that people could identify with. So long story short, it's all new riffs, and it's all new sketches. It's just us kind of revisiting the film. It's kind of like some of our movies are so popular in the context of movie riffing. It's kind of like, you know, a golf course, you know, and it's like EGA is kind of like the 18th hole at Pebble Hill. You know what I mean?
It's your greatest hits.
Did Didn't you just have the Masters Open in Wisconsin?
We had the U.S.
Right?
Open.
Not far from
Fort Atkinson out in Erin Hills.
Yeah. So that was kind of the thinking with the EGA, is just something that was familiar, and to kind of demonstrate this new cast and have them revisit one of the titles that people really liked from back when I was movie riffing.
I'm curious, have you had a movie that was really bad, you just couldn't wait to be able to make fun of it, and then not be able to get the rights? Or has there been difficulty tracking down who owned those films? Is anything like that, throw a wrench into things?
I guess the way it works is we kind of do it like you would buy a HUD home and fix it up. So we start with getting films we know we can get the rights to, and then we invest in looking at it and thinking about it and kind of how do you renovate the movie so it becomes a Mystery Science Theater. So we don't get really excited and decide we're going to buy a house before finding out it's for sale, you know?
Right.
So we don't like window shop for movies, and then because it's such an arduous process, because we actually have to get the rights to these films. And so you learn over time to not just don't go down that road unless you know you can get the rights to a film.
Can you contrast the production, how things take place with the reboot versus the way that producing the show played out originally?
Oh yeah. Well, you know, naturally because of things like Skype and just Google Docs and stuff like that, you can work. We have writers all over the country. And back in the day, we didn't have that, going back almost 30 years. And we would all be in a room together. And basically everybody who worked on Mystery Science Theater lived within 15 minutes of my house. And we were kind of able to gather and get together at one place at a campus and kind of do that. And naturally now it's not quite so easy. And so what we do is we do kind of virtual groups where we'll watch a movie with Skype and do the same thing. So you have the group experience. And then we also have other writers who are working remotely with the film and writing their riffs, and then we composite all those riffs together. So we kind of, it's almost like we try to recreate, and also everybody at my office, we write. So we'll have a group here of six people. And so we're in our own way trying to recreate what we did initially, and also kind of the advantage of people being able to work remotely. So we have people working all over the country on it rather than just, you know, 15 minutes away from me.
And I'm curious, like, how has that process been now being under, you know, working with a company like Netflix and taking that tour on the road? You know, it's incredible to see how technology can affect, you know, the work. How do you see this moving forward in the future? Like, what would be ideal as far as what you would want to accomplish with this down the line?
Well, we're really happy with how things turned out on Netflix, and the response has been really strong. I think we're at 100% on Rotten Tomatoes right now. I think there was an article in Business Insider that came out a few weeks ago that rated the top 24 Netflix shows, and Mystery Science Theater was the had the best like reviews from papers like the LA Times and the New York Times and the Onion. So as far as critical response has gone, we've done really well, and on the fans really seem happy with it. So that's, you know, we feel like we kind of landed the show back, and people seem content with how we did it. And so as far as the show goes, we just want to proceed. And the live show, we just want to go out and see what that's like and see how people respond to it. We think they'll like it based on Cinematic Titanic and doing... We did rooms roughly that size, 1,200 to 1,400 seat rooms. We did the Pabst Theater. And so we've done it with Cinematic Titanic, so I kind of expect it to go the same way. But what's really different now is we have Tom Servo and Crow and Gypsy, of course, and we have the sets and the costumes and the characters. So it's kind of a different experience, but I kind of expect it to go the same. So I'm hoping that it works and people like it.
Well, Joel, I know your time is short, but it dawns on me just how unlikely, 25 years ago it might have been that you would have been referring to a Mystery Science Theater reference on Business Insider.
Yeah, ain't that the truth, right? It's really funny. And thank you so much. We're thrilled to be bringing Mystery Science Theater live to Milwaukee. I can't wait to be there. Can I say one other thing?
Absolutely, of course.
I'm going to say this because I know that the people in Milwaukee will remember this, but when I was growing up, there was a puppet that did the weather, and his name was Albert the Alley Cat. And if you can imagine being a kid, 8 years old, watching the news, and the news was so dull when you're a kid, and then having a puppet show up, this Albert the Alley Cat, do the weather, it was like winning the lottery. Couldn't believe how great that was. Local TV was so influential on the creation of Mystery Science Theater. And what was that show, man? There was a monster show. I'm gonna forget it. Crap. The guy who did Albert the Alley Cat also had a monster movie show at night on the same channel. I don't remember. Anyway, I wanted to mention that also had a big influence on me.
Well, right. It sounds amazing, actually, that you can draw like a line from Albert the Alley Cat to Crow and Tom Servo.
Yeah, it's really true. Like, if you think about it, like, there was a weatherman named Ward Allen, and Ward Allen would do the news, and then Albert would make fun of the weather. He would do the... Ward Albert was the straight guy delivering the weather, and Albert would make fun of it. So it's very similar to what we do.
and I think the idea of riffing the news is actually a pretty juicy topic for down the road.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look at Colbert, what they're doing, and Seth Meyers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Joel, we're grateful for the time that you spent with us. And
oh, thanks so much, you guys. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, excited to have you back in Milwaukee.
Joel Hodgson is a Fort Atkinson native and co-creator of the original Mystery Science Theater 3000 TV series, as well as the relaunched version that is on Netflix today. He spoke with me and with Lake Effect comedy contributor Matt Kemple.
Two live MST 3K shows will be on stage this Saturday evening at the Pabst Theater. You can find more information at WUWM.com.